Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT and you are inside the episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode 110. It's not one thing. I've got David here with me. David, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How you doing?
That's good to hear. Yeah. So first of all, welcome back.
Thank you.
How was your trip to VaynerMedia?
It was great. It was more than I expected for sure. Gary is a great guy. Extremely accomplished guy, and the experience that he provided was above and beyond. Like, I've never really seen anything like it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's great. And those of you who are loyal listeners to the show, you'll know that David has spoken a lot about Gary Vee over the course of the last year. And, you know, he's really been a constant study for you because he is a guy who gets it right. Like, he's been doing this for quite a while. I mean, really, the last 10 years is when he really exploded his business through VaynerMedia and all these other things. But he's got so many things cooking right now. It's really cool to see this guy continue to just stay relevant. And we'll talk more about relevance here in a little bit. Obviously, this entire episode was inspired by that trip to NYC, and you titled it, It's Not One Thing. What do you mean when you say it's not just one thing, just to reiterate to the listeners?
Well, so here's the thing. And I actually didn't realize that I was even going to have this conversation with Gary when I was there. But we hit on a couple of things that we both thought were really important and kind of flushed them out. And the thing is that people are looking for, like, hey, just how do I fix this one thing? I want to fix my marketing. I want to fix my branding. How do I fix, you know, the thing that they're seeing that they have a problem with, but they're not looking at the overall picture, right? If there's any one thing, it's you. You know, your person's got to fix their head, get their head right about what it is that they're doing. Because the moment that they start looking for the one thing is the moment they kind of go into magical thinking, and they're looking for a quick fix. They're looking at avoiding something. And then they get sucked into doing something that's above their own worth, you know? So, building a business is a big deal. It needs to be taken seriously, and it does require a lot of hard work. It requires talent. It requires you to be disciplined. And it requires you to ask for help, you know, when you need help, but it's not just one quick fix for anything.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect segue to this one. You have to be doing everything when it comes to business. You said that in the episode, and I've got it in my notes underlined. You have to be doing everything when it comes to your business. Can you speak more on that idea as to what that everything may entail?
Yeah. So, you know, when I went, one of the things that I really wanted to see and learn about when I went to go see Gary was I wanted to see how that company runs. So the first time I met Gary, we spoke on the same stage about 10 years ago, right when he was starting his VaynerMedia. And he started it with his brother. And it was, you know, it was kind of a bootstrap startup deal. They didn't have a big office or anything. I don't know if I remember. He was working out of an apartment or something when he started. I don't know. But in 10 years, he's grown it to a $200 million company. They're on their way to five, is what my understanding is. And when you start to get into those numbers, you're running something very different. I had a great meeting several years ago with Zappos, and Tony Hsieh is a friend, and he gave me a tour of the company and the whole team. By the way, we all went in Vegas, and you know, again, you're looking at another company that is, you're looking at something that's a very different level. This is not an infopreneur type thing. It's not a solopreneur type thing. It's not small business. You're talking big business. So when you're looking at something like that, when you're looking at 350 people in one office and they're all working on individual projects, but the whole main goal is all the businesses that Gary has, you know, it's to learn about, to get that vision in your head and to get an idea of how that works and how that runs, is something is very different. Like it's a total different mindset. But here's the thing about this. So if you are you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want to build a really big company. And of course, that's not for everybody. But if you're a person that's thinking that you want to build a really big company, you've got to get some kind of a vision into your mind of what that actually is like and what it entails. And if you've never seen that up close and personal before and had it broken down for you as far as what everything that's going on, you have an idea in your mind that's probably nowhere close to what the truth is, what the reality of it is. So part of it was that I wanted to see what that actually looks like. How is he running this business? How did he get there? How did he overcome the obstacles? Where did he have the obstacles? Where did they get stuck? How did they break through those sticking areas? And, you know, he was pointing out to me a lot of different places to watch out for as my company grows. Like, he's like, you'll get stuck here and you'll get stuck here. And like, we went through several different places. And his team is absolutely amazing also. So, you know, from the perspective of really seeing that and then having this conversation about some things that really, really matter. One of the things that I could tell you about him is that he goes above and beyond to make it right. You know, and he doesn't care what it costs him. He's going to actually make everything right. So I know that about him. I've engaged in that with him. And, you know, it's rare that you actually get to see it, but it's like a breath of fresh air. Like when I meet somebody that's like that, I feel like it's a kindred spirit type of thing because there's so many people that aren't that we run into. So I hope that answers your question.
It totally does. Yeah. And, you know, you just mentioned, you know, let's go into our industry for a moment. In the episode, you talked about the trick that is rampant in this industry. You know, you mentioned bright, shiny object syndrome and how people get distracted from one thing to the next. You know, you've been in this game for several decades now. When did you start to feel that shift, or has it always been there? Something tells me that it hasn't always been there. This whole trick about the high pressure, slimy, salesy types of tricks where you sell the wrong people into things they don't really need.
Well, it's been there. So when I started, it was so very different than it is today. I mean, really, where you would probably see that the most was, I saw it a lot in network marketing companies because I started with speaking engagements for network marketing companies. And I saw a lot of trainers that are in that field that are presenting the one trick idea. And, you know, you're talking to people who are very, they're not business savvy, right? They're uneducated, they're ignorant about it. So they have a tendency to believe whatever it is that's put in front of them. That's not saying anything bad about them. They just haven't had the experience yet. You know, you got to be burned a few times before you start to understand it. But in a lot of what I was doing, it wasn't anywhere near as bad. I think that it really started to get bad when the internet came around and the internet marketers came in there with, you know, every trick that they could get, you know, to get people to buy. So, it just got worse over a period of time. And in the, I would say probably from 2002 maybe to probably 2011, 12, it was really, really slimy, like really slimy. And then some people that were doing it right started to break through a little bit into that space. But yeah, you know, look, hucksters go all the way back, you know, they've always been there. So you're going to run into it, but the idea is that you don't get sucked into it because you need to know what the truth is, not coming from your insecurity.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why a lot of people resonate with what you do, because, you know, you are who you say you are. And that's probably why you relate so well to Gary Vee. You know, I used to think watching him that was sort of a character he had created, but then I had a chance to meet him, and then you've obviously spoken about him and met with him before. He is that person. That's who he is. There's a piece of integrity that is woven between, that sort of connects the two of you, I would feel, in a way, because, you know, when I speak about the industry here, it seems to be saturated with people that are just looking to get, and the breadth of this episode that I found so great is it's really about the giving, not the getting. And I think that
it's all about the giving.
Yeah.
It's all, that's exactly what it is. That, you know, that was the thing that I learned very early on in the 90s. And I started employing that into what I was doing. It was all about how could I give first, right? Let me prove myself that I actually have something of value. And that is what I really believe. That's what allowed me to not only be in business as long as I have, but to stay relevant and continue to grow.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about relevance for a moment. What advice can you offer listeners who are in business for themselves to stay relevant in a constantly changing environment?
Education. Like, so one thing is not to become irrelevant in your own business, meaning that within your own company, we can have a tendency to get the company to say a couple of million dollars and then, you don't have the pressure that you used to have. Maybe the drive starts to dip a little bit. You start not paying attention to what's going on. You're building team, you know, obviously at that point. And you, for some reason, you start to believe like you've made it. That's the death trap. I'm so grateful that I had a mentor he drilled it into my head like you've never made it. You need to never stop learning. It should be your biggest priority, you know, in your life. Never believe your own press clippings. You know, don't believe the hype about yourself, all the good things that people say about you. Stay humble and keep, you know, learning to move forward, and never be afraid to ask for help. So, you know, I'm always looking at people that are ahead of me, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what have they done? What are they doing? What do they see? Because we can learn from great people like Gary, right? We can learn tremendous for things. Sure. But there's a lot of people out there that are like, you know, they don't like his shtick or whatever. It's like, okay, whatever. You don't necessarily have to like him, his shtick, in order to learn something from what he's doing. But people throw the baby out with the bathwater. You can't do that crap.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, he's so vulgar, and you get all these like different things, and it's like they judge themselves so much based, and they completely cut off this opportunity to learn from someone who's actually doing it right and doing it right consistently over time. And it's not something that he's doing right now. He's already forecasted 5-10 years down the road of what things could happen. So he's ahead of the curve. And I think that is what separated him from the rest of the pack, is that he anticipated, jumped on it, and moved to the next thing. And I love that you bring in your personal study, because when you study, all of us benefit from it. Those who listen to this podcast, those who come to your live events, those who see you speak from stage, they benefit from your constant thirst to learn. And I'm grateful for that as well, because I wouldn't necessarily pick up some of these things that you toss out, but I do. And I'm like, aha, I'm able to learn from that. So I think that's really super cool.
Let me tell you something about him that I found. Like, I had a sense of it before I went to go meet him, but then after talking with him and his team and observation of the office that he's working out of, something really struck me. One of the things that Gary is really good at is accepting what is. So I remember when I first heard him talk about, like, the iPhone is the how did he put it? The iPhone is the television. Like back in 1940.
The early years of TV.
Right. Yes, and it's pushing out, you know, radio, right? And the TV is the radio. That's how you put it. The iPhone is the television, TV is the radio back in the 40s. And he was saying about how the social media and our behavior on social media and the internet is really exposing who we are. It's not that it's changing us, but it's exposing who we are. And I thought, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I totally agree with that. I hadn't thought about it that way before, but I was like, yep, I totally get that. And he was talking to a group of people, and the group of people were, you could see that they were resistant against it, because they're coming from a place of like, oh, you know, what is technology doing to our kids? And, you know, and he was coming from the place of like, you sound just like your parents did, right? When MTV showed up, or if you're older than that, when Elvis Presley was shaking his hips, or, you know, when people are watching 4 hours of television every night and now they're on a game for 4 hours or they're on the internet for 4 hours. So with that, along with several other things that I noticed was like, oh, he does not waste any time judging what is the way things are. He accepts it and then says, how do I work with this? How do I build a business with this? How do I help other people with this? How can I be profitable with this? Instead of like going through the process where most people resist change for a long time, right? There's like a, I mean, the way people resist how, I mean, look, we're changing faster than we ever have. So the resistance to change, I get it. Like people, that's what we have a tendency to do. But he doesn't do that. So if this is the way that it is, then this is the way that it is. He accepts it. He understands it, and he works with it from that place. And I think that that's like a brilliant thing because how, you know, when you're in business, you need to be like able to see several steps ahead of the game. If you're stuck in the fact that something is changing from a technology standpoint and not just going with it, but you're spending a crazy amount of time either complaining about it or bitching about it or being stressed about it, you're in danger is what you are. You're in real danger of becoming obsolete.
Sure. No, absolutely. That makes total sense. Yeah. I mean, not much more I can say about that. That was brilliant. So you said in the episode, we are in the experience business. And that's something that I've never heard you say before. Maybe you have, I just didn't pick up on it, but it makes total sense. We are offering up experiences to those we work with. So in terms of your own business, what are you most proud of when it comes to providing those experiences to the thousands and thousands of clients you've worked with over the years?
The thing that I'm most proud of is that when somebody says to me, you changed my life. Here's where I was. Here's where I am now. Here's what would have happened had I changed. Now, I know that I didn't change their life. I know that all I did was provide them an opportunity. They were the ones that actually did the work and change it. But that's why I did this for a living, because I was a screwed up kid and I didn't know how to change. And there were a lot of things I didn't know and I had to learn. And so a lot of it was really painful to go through. But I was like, you know, it all goes back to when I had the accident, when I got sucked through the dam. That day, I realized that life is short. And if I had died, I would have left my family with nothing but problems. So I had been searching for these answers all my life. I was starting to get to a place where I was getting some. And I just knew that it was like, okay, if I can figure this out, I'm going to spend the rest of my life teaching other people how to.
That's great. I just love that whole piece around experiences, because we do pride ourselves in providing a high level experience for all of those we work with on every level from the top down.
100%.
Yeah. You model that for us, all of those individuals in the company, from those who help work with copy to our digital design people, to our customer support people. It definitely, we take our lead from you, and we do want to provide the highest level of experience. And I think we're able to do that in such a way because we care.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really stood out from that. I just loved that. That was so cool to hear you say, we are in the experience business. It's very exotic.
Yeah, and think about this, T. Everybody that works on our team, right? Everybody that's on our team, we're all people that really want to help other people. Like, we don't just help people when we're working, right?
Right.
I see you help people. I see, sure, Steph. I see Tia. I see Mare. I see Liz. You know, everybody wants to help other individuals. That's our nature. That's who we are.
It's true.
So, we want to make sure somebody's having a good experience. And it is the hard thing to do for most individuals, because you have to be thinking about and constantly being open to somebody saying, hey, this experience sucks, man. You know, and here's why it sucks. Because you won't get better if you can't hear that from somebody.
Right. We're constantly looking for feedback from people. We do it at every one of our live events. We have you fill out forms. We take your feedback very seriously. And we always are striving to do better. You get to a place where you could become stagnant. You could easily say, oh, I don't want to do that today. But it's that extra step. It's when you don't want to do something and then you do it. Like, I had this rule really early on, even before I started working for you in a customer support role. I never let the email die with me. And what I mean by that is when a client would send something back to me that says, hey, thank you so much. It was just a short email. I would never let that email die with me. I would constantly, I would send them a reply and say, absolutely, my pleasure. I'm always here. If you need anything, make it a great day. And sometimes it would get silly. It would bounce back and forth or four times, but I never let the email die for me. So personally, I take my experience very, very seriously. And I think that's something that I think the people out there could really learn from, because we are in the experience business. We're providing people a high level experience, and we are helping, we're leaving them better than when we found them. Basically, that's what we do.
That's our idea.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Okay. So as we wind this down, there's someone out there right now who's listening, who is maybe a fresh entrepreneur, just started, corporate refugee, starting their own business. Is there any last nugget you could pass along to that person that they can implement today that's going to help them sort of become more relevant in their space?
I think that the first thing that a person needs to do is sit down and say, what is this about? Why am I doing this? And be really clear on that. Are they, and to be honest with themselves, like, so this requires radical honesty. Like, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? Why are you building a business? Why have you been in a business? And how do you feel about it? You know, and be honest, and then ask yourself, how do I up-level this? How do I raise my standard and hold myself and everybody in the company, to a much higher standard of service?
Yeah. And never be complacent. Because never. When you're complacent, your business is dead on the vine.
If you find yourself being complacent, it's time to stop.
That's true.
Like, whatever, and it doesn't matter what the consequence of that is. I mean, the consequence, maybe you got to go back and get a job. But it's better to be happy and do something that you enjoy doing than just totally stagnant in life. And business is no place to stagnate.
100%. All right, David, thank you so much. This was great. Appreciate the episode.
My pleasure. Thanks, T.
Listening to the Successful Mind podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/free stuff.